Hey, everybody. Shane Pressley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Hey, I want to tell you, we got a big party coming up on July 1st over at the Firebird. Big third annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show featuring the likes of Hounds, the Royal Furs, Bald Eagle Mountain, and Forgetting January, hosted by comedian John Venegoni. Tickets are $8 and $10 day of show. So come on over. We're going to have Gorilla Street Food out there, and we're going to have Four Hands Beer and all kinds of good stuff going on. It's going to be a fun event, and I can't wait to see you all out there. This episode brought to you by Gaslight. Check them out over there on the hill in St. Louis, Missouri, located at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Hey, come on by this Friday, June 9th, and see Elliot Pearson and friends in the studio recording a brand new record. And they also have a fun event coming up on June 25th, Gaslight Sessions with the Knuckles and Matthias and the Pirates. So mark those on your calendars. There's also a bunch of fun things coming up with the kids, so you can get involved with these Gaslight Summer Camps. Reach out and see how you can get the kids signed up for the camp. All details at GaslightSTL.com. Be sure to follow them along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They're a wonderful record store located right here in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, come by every Friday. New records in store. This week, they'll have records in from 311, Neil Young, Lord, Flaming Lips, Taking Back Sunday, Prince of Montreal, Beach House. All kinds of things happening over there. Full listing of all these details at musicrecordshop.com. You can also follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. They do a lot of fun things with live in stores and giving away records and tickets and things. So all that you can find them on their social media. Follow along, support local business. I want to say thank you also for listening wherever you're listening to the show, whether it's your Google Play, Stitcher, or through the website, rockpaperpodcast.com. But really means a lot. Like I said, I've been doing the show 3 years now, and it's crazy. But yeah, thank you for listening.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hello, this is Everett Dean, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today back at Blue Lotus Recordings in St. Louis, Missouri, with Everett Dean and Paul Niehaus.
Hey, Shane.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much, Shane.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, for sure.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it's always a good time down here at Blue Lotus. And Paul's become a good friend of the show. We've done quite a few of them down here now.
Yeah.
And but we reached out. We made this happen for get Everett on the show. This is it's very exciting. This is our first time getting to meet. And,
yes, it's an honor.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that, but. You're a guy I've been seeing the name a lot more. I've seen you play out a lot, and I don't know how we haven't run into each other before now, but I'm glad it worked out. We're here today.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Definitely, man. You like I said, this is our first time getting to meet. I figured it'd be a good start to tell me a little more about yourself, where you're growing up or stuff, and getting into music. And
Well, I grew up in a little country town out of Chicago, a suburb out of Chicago called Frankfort, Illinois. And incidentally, what's strange about it is I lived off a street called Graceland. And my dad, you know, of course, listened to all the early rock and roll, everything from the Beatles to Elvis to Eddie Cochran and Chuck Berry and all those guys. And when I started getting influenced by it was I started watching, you know, old movies from the 50s, such as The Girl Can't Help It, old Elvis movies, things like that. And I guess, you know, it just started getting embedded in me from my father. I don't remember this, of course, but supposedly about 5-6 days being brought home from the hospital, my dad popped in Hound Dog on this cassette player in the car, and that was the first song I ever heard.
Yeah.
So it was like right in me, man. It was like a curse or something. I don't know, but so that's how I got into it, I guess. And then what made me walk was a cassette or of Elvis, and I walked from that. And then when I got into high school, my buddy said, you know, you need a break away from the Elvis and get more into rockabilly. So I started doing that, and I got really into rockabilly and started getting away from that whole other Elvis end of things. And then I met Paul, and I'm starting to get away from rockabilly a little bit into more rock and blues and rock and roll. So really becoming my own person finally.
Yeah, very cool. I think, I think we all probably, excluding myself, I don't play, but I think a lot of people start that way, and even in comedy and stuff, like you kind of mimic somebody that you really idolize, who you want to start, it's kind of what I'm going for, and then but it takes a while to finally create your own voice in this, especially as a singer, or I'm a big fan of comedy as well, but I hear a lot of comedians tell the same stories, they'll have those same kind of cadence and rhythm mm-hmm. to, you know, their favorite comedian, and then you learn I sound just like that guy and I want to make my own thing. And
well, I actually always wanted to be Will Ferrell, but I'm not funny enough, so I'm just joking. Made that one up.
So you started playing in high school then?
I didn't start guitar until about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, singing in high school, and I used to sing at all the talent shows and things like that. My first talent show, I won first place in first grade. It was third grade, lip singing, and then second place in seventh grade, actually singing. And then my senior year of high school, I was in a talent expo. So, it was just in the blood. My family's all into music, not musicians per se, but they're all into music. So,
mm-hmm. What was the first band name?
My first band?
Yeah, has it always been
The Wingtips?
The Wingtips.
And then it went from that to Feline Casanova. And then we had a band called Cat Sass. I'm going to clarify that. Cat Sass. You say that fast and you say something else.
Sure.
But and then we got the Lonesome Hearts.
Yeah.
Everdeen Lonesome Hearts. So
yeah, early band names always make me laugh. Some of them are pretty funny. Like Cat Sass.
Right. We had another one, Everdeen the Hypnos, HIPNOZ, and everybody thought it was Hypnos. The Hypnos, there was another band. So,
yeah.
But there's tons of bands I've worked with.
For sure. So how do you get to St. Louis growing up outside Chicago?
My family moved down here, and I'm really a family-oriented person, so I'm real close to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved down here about 6 to 8 months after they did.
Okay.
And I've lived here ever since. I met some great people. Actually, though, in 2011, I moved down to Branson for 2 years. So I lived there 2011 and 2012, where I worked at the Icon Theater. I was in two shows. One was Jukebox Journey, and one was Rockabilly Kings. And actually, that's where I really started learning show production, because I also produce rock and roll tribute shows. But I'm trying to get out of that whole thing mm-hmm. and do just rock and roll shows. But that's where I learned a lot of my production of that type of thing.
Yeah, very nice. So you moved to St. Louis and you and Paul link up?
When did I meet you?
We met at Fox 2, the band in a box thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was like that day.
Yes.
We were on TV
the first
together.
Time we met. Yeah,
because I needed a guitar. It was a guitar player.
Yeah, I was on the guitar.
So in some Dan Conner, I think
that's right,
called you from
that's
Miss
right.
Jubilee.
That's right.
And Paul played Shake, Rattle, and Roll with us.
Yep. Yep. And we just hit it off, and we not long after that we started working once a week together
mm-hmm.
on Tuesday nights at 1860s, and a year or so later it switched to Thursday nights, where we've been for probably almost 3 years, I want to say. So we've got the same core group of five dudes that we play every week together, and we have a good old time. It's just joking and just we go for all the variety we can, like songs off the wall, all the way from like, you know, the Elvis, Jerry Lewis, Carl Perkins to like
Billy Joel,
Michael Jackson, Billy Jean, right?
Yeah.
All of those. And if somebody hollers if anybody hollers a song, like even if we only know a tiny bit of it, we'll go for it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we pull it off really, really well.
Like Sticks or Prince's Purple Rain. Those are inside jokes.
We just have so much fun. It's a riot. It's just too much fun. And we have to tell you about our keyboardist, Ashley Underwood.
Yeah, we have amazing keyboardist named Ashley Underwood. He's fantastic. He's played with everybody. And we've got Kevin O'Connor on lead guitar and Dennis Williams on drums and Paul Niehaus on bass.
Yep.
And everybody's basically real versatile, too, because everybody could play all these different instruments except for me. I can barely play guitar, but yeah, so everybody's fantastic. But Ashley, man, he's just nails. He played an awesome piano part on 10-Foot Pole, which is one of our songs. In fact, that's the song we're basically concentrating on for 10-Foot Pole.
Yeah.
That's the song that, how can you word it?
It's the title track of the EP, and yeah, it's a Rolling Stones-esque like tune, and we're going to do a music video for the song with our friend Calvin Tiger, who we've worked with before with Roland Johnson video and soon to come out Gene Jackson video.
Yeah,
so
friend of the show also.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's kind of just humorous and it's rock and roll and it's just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we mentioned the EP. That'll be out June 16th.
Yep.
And it's, what, 5 tracks, right?
Yes, yep.
That's correct. There's it's the first song. The first track is called 10-Foot Pole. The second track is A Dream That Can Be True. The third one's called Twinkling Little Star. The fourth is In This Moment, and the fifth is Traffic. And Paul and myself basically co-wrote together.
Yeah.
And arranged together the whole thing.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, and Everett, myself, and Kevin O'Connor co-produced it.
Thank you.
So...
In This Moment was
In This Moment is a song that I co-wrote with my friend Rob Barnard. He's a friend and mentor of mine. He's been helping me for years with recording and sound and things like that. And it's like got that 70s Elvis vibe, even with like the big finish at the end with like a choir and timpani. And it's just like we went for like maximum over the top cheesy factor.
Right.
Like in a hopefully tasteful way.
Right. Yeah. And that's what's great about this CD, too. I'm gonna build off that. Was you have so many versatile different styles. So if you go back to the past of like the Beatles, okay? The Beatles could play blues, they could play country, they could play rock and roll, they went into psychedelic, they played Latin flavor stuff. So the same with us on the CD, you know, we have that classic rock sound, which is 10-Foot Pole. Mm-hmm. A Dream That Can Be True is really trippy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But not only is it trippy, but you could see Chris Isaac or Johnny Cash doing it.
Yeah. Outlaw country vibe.
Right.
Yeah.
In This Moment, like Paul already hit that. Twinkling Little Star is total rockabilly.
Total rockabilly. Mm-hmm.
And Traffic is, I don't even know what it is, just rock and roll.
Rock and roll,
Yeah, definitely with like the piano in there. It's like, you know, you get that, Jerry Lewis stuff or whatever, you know. Something,
Jerry Lee.
Yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis. And, you know, that kind of, something like that vibe to it a little bit, you know.
Totally.
Just with those keys. And it's a lot of fun.
You know, it's funny because basically all the songs are within our life, such as, well, Traffic. I literally wrote that years ago, and then he helped rewrite some stuff. He came up with some ideas. He's like, let's add this here and this there. So we co-wrote it. But what I was going to say was, I was driving one time, and Traffic was really making me upset. You know, you just got traffic here and traffic there. So basically the story is about that day that I was in traffic.
Right.
10-Foot Pole is about my life with the opposite sex. you know, sometimes there's a little drama. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I'm really proud of this project. Paul's an amazing producer, and so is Kevin.
Thank you. It was really fun to make.
Yeah, and all recorded right here in St. Louis at Blue Lotus Recordings, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
If you would like to get involved, I'm sure you can reach out to Paul at BlueLotusRecordings.com, and
absolutely,
we can maybe we can get you in the studio as well.
Would love it.
But yeah, along with the EP, the release will be online on the 16th. But you can also come out and pick up a physical copy over at 1860s Saloon over there at and a free party, 9 mm-hmm. to 1.
Yep.
And again, physical copies will be available.
Absolutely.
So come pick up a copy. But we're gonna play you some tunes. So you said you guys wanted to play Ten Foot Pole, which is the title track.
Let's do it.
We kind of talked about this is sort of your dealings with the opposite sex. You said is anything else into recording this or the lyrics or anything like anything come to mind, guys?
Well, you know, it's just. It's a playful. When I say it's about the opposite sex, it's playful. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. I'm not down talking to anybody or anyone. It's just I was making an actual joke. But yeah, it's fun. It's a fun, loving song.
Sure.
So, but you know, if you get a chance, they need to listen to those lyrics definitely because. They crack me up, such as Mercedes Benz, right?
Right.
Louis Vuitton.
Yes.
So, you know, we mentioned different things, you know.
Right.
They're high class.
Right. It's sort of about, like, maybe a girl that's superficially beautiful, but there's no substance there underneath it, perhaps. And Tom Maloney, a veteran guitar player of St. Louis, sideman of Johnny Johnson, he wrote the lick. Ga, 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 ga. Like, he showed me that lick down here in this basement, like, 6 years ago. And that was, the seed of that the rest of that song.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice, man.
So, it's just been, it's been a long time coming, but we're really proud of the song, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys collaborated on it all together, the lyrics and the and producing it, you said?
Absolutely, yeah. This particular song, 10-Foot Pole, Tom Maloney, Rob Barnard, Everett, and myself are the co-writers of it. Mm-hmm. It's a big team effort. And
very cool.
Yeah.
When you guys are recording this, obviously you got a nice live room here where, you know, but do you guys do you guys get all together and do it, or is it, how's that process work for you guys down here?
This particular CD was, for the most part, Kevin and myself playing and Everett here helping us determine what the forms were and just feedback. So usually it was Kevin on the drums and myself on either a bass or a guitar. That's how all five of these songs started. It was a live performance of drums and guitar for the most part.
Yeah.
Then come back and Kevin and I added all the other guitars, and Kevin added pedal steel and played guitar as well. Ashley did our keyboard. So it was mostly an overdub process based around a live performance of drums and guitar for the live energy. No click tracks.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
I was talking about off mic a little bit about how I was really digging Traffic, and you kind of told a little bit of a story there, but Ashley's key work in there was a lot of fun and really but it's kind of like I think the hook is that stutter you do.
You know, I got that ka-ka-ka-ka by listening to my niece doing goo-goo gaga. I'm just joking. No, we are all influenced by different styles of music. Sure. So that right there was an Otis Redding feel or flavor taste that we threw in there. So he does that stuttering. So
sure.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun, like what, you know, just keep that kind of stuff alive and kind of putting a fresh twist on it for today. You know, this is 2017, and you know, this record sounds like it could have been from, you know, whatever, the 60s or whatever.
It's 2017. Yeah. I must have fell asleep.
Right, yeah. So, I just love that though. Like, people are still keeping all this music alive and stuff, and I went to see Rival Sons, and they're kind of more, you know, hard classic rock, like Doors or Zeppelin or something. You know, they're in that vein of sound. You know, it's all original too, and they're like, I think people keep saying stuff like that. They're gonna save rock and roll. You know, he's like, that's why I talked to Jay, and he's like, you know, we're not a blues band, or we're not a blues rock band. We're not a progressive rock band or whatever, any different things. We're just rock and roll, and that's how we play. And like, but people people keep talking about them saving rock and roll, and I don't know that it's, you know, there's been, if you listen to the radio, maybe it's been not been as evident, but you know, there's a lot going on. People still making great music all over this country. Sure. And that's why I always kind of tell people, a lot of my friends, like, if you like certain music, whatever it is, there's somebody out there making it.
That's
still
so true. Right. And there's room for everybody.
Right.
And
to do
it's
it.
It's important that people dig deeper than the, excuse me, crap that the mainstream top-down, quote-unquote, man feeds people. There's so much amazing music out there, and you just have to find it and talk to people who go to shows and discover it. Not just taking things at a surface level of what the top-down commercial number one or number whatever, you know, Billboard charts are, you know, because there's so much off the radar that you have to find.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's a big part of me doing this show is, like, I've met so many of these incredible performers all around town, and I want people to know about them because, you know, there's right here in St. Louis, we have some of the world-class talent, so it's...
That's right.
Yeah, man.
It's a really, really ripe scene. There's so much good stuff going in St.
Yeah,
Louis.
Yeah, it's definitely ripe. They just need to start wearing deodorant.
So is this your first original record? Or
no, this is my third. But this is my but my first one, Blue Lotus.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Nice.
So
yeah, I didn't.
I guess Paul believed in me.
Absolutely, brother. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. I love what Paul's been doing down here. I've been, like I said, I've been down here a few times with, we did a Roland Johnson episode. We did a Gene Jackson episode. You know, there's a lot of really great recordings coming out of Blue Lotus Recording. So get out and get involved. Check all those projects out too. But you were also telling me you got a fun date coming up June 25th at Casa Loma Ballroom.
That's right. We're we have a new project coming out. It's called Live at the Casa Loma Ballroom, and it's on the early stages of becoming a TV show. We're doing tapings. This one is going to feature. It's basically, you can get the vibe of the American Bandstand meets the Ed Sullivan Show meets the Dean Martin Show. This next one, we're going to have Steve Davis portraying Elvis to tribute music. Don Turlington is playing Linda Ronstadt, and Vince Martin is playing Chuck Berry. And then the Lonesome Hearts, which is Paul Niehaus on bass, Tom Maloney on guitar, Ashley Underwood on keyboard, and Dennis Williams on drums. They are going to be the band, the orchestra, the music for these acts. And I am the host, the MC, along with John Carney, who is a legend in radio. His father was Jack Carney back in the 1950s. So it's a wonderful show, and not only are people allowed to sit and watch, but off to the sides we're having, like the American Bandstand, people could dance and be a part of that. So the show, the whole TV show is about an hour and a half, and then there's a cutoff after the TV show of 15 minutes, and then we do a rock and roll jam, The Lonesome Hearts, with myself, just doing about 40 minutes of rock and roll, what we do. And it's a great time.
Yeah, and you said this is all being filmed.
Yes, for a taping that will be. We're working on selling to some networks that we have interested in.
Yeah,
and also on sponsors and things like that.
Nice. Yeah, that yeah, that's always fun to be a part of something. I mean, even just a live taping and
right.
I mean, it was much bigger scale. It was kind of crazy, but I went to. Live taping of America's Got Talent over at the Fox Theater, and it was just pretty crazy to be kind of, you know, we don't get to see a whole lot of behind the scenes being just in the seats there, but it was still just kind of neat to be a part of it, just to sit in the audience and watch all this crazy stuff going on. And
that's cool, man.
Yeah, but this sounds a lot more fun. You actually can get up and participate and dance, right. and have a good time, and plus you get great music all night long. So
right, and if we mess up, you know, that was the thing about those TV shows back in the day, such as the Dean Martin Show, Carol Burnett, things like that. That's the vibe. Is if we mess up, great. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it makes it more real. Mm-hmm. You know, if you say something, if you mess up, if you say something funny, we go with it and we keep that in the film, in the taping, because it's gonna get a good vibe there.
Yeah. I think you said Will Ferrell earlier, and that's kind of like the whole SNL thing. Like, you know, like right. It's always funny, but when they break and they start laughing at each other in the skit, like it's even better. Like, you know, so it's like because it makes you realize that this is even though it's alive and it's supposed to be serious, kind of funny stuff, but like they make each other laugh, and that just makes it even better. I think like some people kind of got annoyed by it with like Jimmy Fallon, but I think for the most part, it was always made it even better when they realized it was a real thing and not just some going through the motions or whatever.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and we're going to make sure that we have more cowbell on this. Yeah. Just like 10-foot pole?
Yeah, 10-foot pole's got a very prominent cowbell all the way through it.
Yeah, you did say Stones-esque, and that's kind of that was definitely the vibe I picked up on that one. It was like what's that? Tumbling Dice, kind of in that vein of sounded like that a little bit,
for sure, man.
You can be anything close to Stones. That's good, you know. Like those guys have been doing all right for themselves, and
they're still alive.
Yeah, right.
yeah. Keith Richards, man.
Yeah, that song has a like. I have a guitar that I have that's always in 5-string open G tuning, which is one of Keith Richards's things, where it's what he like. Tunes when they call it the riff machine, quote unquote. So it's like Start Me Up and Brown Sugar, all those famous like riffs. It's an open G 5-string guitar. There's no low D string. It's an open G 5-string, and that's what that song is played on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, a little fun fact.
Yeah, for the all the guitar nerds out there.
Yeah, yeah. What you said there was the track two you guys also wanted to share on this episode.
Yes, please.
And that's was a dream.
A dream that can be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a windy night. How I got inspired to write this song was... I just pictured, you know, you imagine, you know, you're downtown St. Louis. We'll just use that example since you're from here. You're downtown St. Louis. It's a dark night, and you're walking down this alley. And as you're walking down this alley, you see this sewer cap that has a fog coming out of it, okay? And smoke coming up. And it's the night is very eerie. And then all of a sudden, you see this man in a trench coat. All you see is a shadow, and he's wearing a trench coat and a fedora. And he walks up to you, and he says, "I can give you a dream that can be true." And that's what I was picturing when I wrote that song, which is actually what the first lyric basically is in so many words. And so, you know, the guy, I tell the story, you know, the guy becomes rich and famous, or so he thinks he did. But then he wakes up from the dream, and he's like, wait, maybe it wasn't real. And then he looks at his newspaper, and he realizes he's famous and rich. And he dreamt that.
It was a windy night. A night of eeriness down at the alley, smoke coming up. What did I see? An image calling me. He said, "You have a choice. Fame's calling you. So go out and play. I'll lead you to. I'll lead you to a dream that can be true. Pray for you, but coming is the day that she is through. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The truth is, he's the only one.
Whoa, where should I go? Where should I? Take his hand. Where am I dreaming? what should I do? A dream that can't be true. Was a dream. I grabbed my paper. What did I see? What did I see?
Fame happened to call me.
It's kind of psychedelic.
Yeah.
Is it kind of a metaphor for selling your soul to the devil for
no.
or rock and roll?
I mean, not, I would say the devil. I can't outright say who it was about, but I had this gentleman that used to, in Chicago a few years back, that was offered me a management deal, and he was the guy I wrote it basically about. But in there, in that song, I quote the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I quote love, wisdom, justice, and power, which is the four attributes of God. And saying he's my leaning tower. So there's also that part of it. So do I go with God or do I go with this guy? And I wouldn't say it's the devil, but right. you know, you could either seek God's glory or seek your own glory and seek this guy who's this guy's giving you that. So, yeah.
But then that whole thing like meeting at the crossroads,
exactly.
Right? Yeah. Johnson, yeah, right. Totally,
yeah. But yeah, that's a fun story. I forget not what I did. I just listened to it on the way over, but there was one you did like a kind of a talk down.
Yeah, that was it.
That is it.
Where I said, yeah, love, wisdom, right. Justin Power, yeah. God is my leaning tower.
Yeah, that's what I was pretty sure, but I didn't want to misquote it.
And then it says, Babylon will pray for you, but the truth is her day is coming through. See, in the Bible, Babylon was they were the area where they had a lot of different worshiping of different gods. So I was just being metaphoric with that. You know, Babylon says, I'll pray for you. But no, I want to go to God, not to Babylon. So that's where it came from.
Yeah, very cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. So we got this, again, this record is out on June 16th. You can pick up your copy at 1860 Saloon and on that same night. And, of course, be everywhere digitally, right?
It will, yeah.
Yeah, and you can follow along with Everett on Facebook and everettdean.com, you said?
Yep, .com, .net.
.net.
Yep, I own them both.
Yeah,
right. Yep. That's actually a funny story.
What, do you want to share? Or?
Well, yeah, I wanted .com years ago, and there was this lady who had pictures of her baby at everettdean.com, and she would never sell it to me. And then the baby, I guess, got older, and she got rid of it. And I'm like, because I offered her money, she wouldn't give it to me.
Yeah.
So the baby grew up, and she got rid of everettdean.com, and I bought that.
Yeah. That's funny. I listen to a lot of these podcasts, and I listen to a lot of comedy ones, and a lot of comedians, you know, that aren't the same thing. They want to buy a domain with their name, and there's like somebody else has already got it. So I've heard a lot of stories like of what a real estate agent or some kind of thing, whatever it might be. There's all kinds of, or painter or something, like all these different people have their different names. And it's just always a funny story to hear who else has bought that domain. And stuff, you know, how many other Everett Deans are out there.
That's right.
Stuff,
right.
So, but yeah, so I wonder what that kid's up to now.
I hope he ain't saying he's me or from me.
So, you know, get out there and get involved. Like Everett's playing all over town all the time. So, we only shared a couple of dates, but he's got a lot more in the works. And, yeah,
there's plenty. I'm playing Chicago again at the end of June. Actually, in the middle of July, I'm playing Memphis, Indiana, Arkansas, working on bookings in Nebraska. So it's going good.
Yeah. So very cool. You guys all, you take the Lonesome Hearts with you, or?
Yeah, the majority of them, yeah.
Right. Nice, yeah.
Yeah, and we're also, for the most part, at 1860s every Thursday from 9 to 1. No cover, so... It's a good old-fashioned oldies party. We just have fun with it.
And they have the best air conditioner in the city.
Bring your parka. They like to keep it pretty chilly in there.
I sometimes feel like I'm in a meat house or something. My goodness. There's icicles growing from my nose hair.
Well, that sounds a lot better. I work at an oyster bar and on the patio. It gets a little steamy in the summer. Humid. Yeah.
Right, right.
So, all those guys got, we got like these big industrial fans trying to keep the air moving in there, but they're all sweating all night. And,
sounds pretty cool to be.
Yeah. I'd rather be sweaty than cold. Yeah.
But, that sounds great. And, again, the June 25th is the Casa Loma Ballroom show.
That's right.
So is there tickets to purchase?
Yeah, CasaLomaBallroom.com, I believe the address is. They're $15 in advance, $20 at the door. Mm-hmm. Doors open at 6:30. Show starts at 7:30.
Right on. Very cool. And I know we're just getting ready to release the EP and stuff. But is there some more songs on the way, or what's
Man, we have a backlog of hundreds of songs.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, if this is good, and Paul wants me on another CD,
and you know. You asked us earlier about the process. I think it'd be fun to bring the band down here and cut it. Because, I mean, to be honest, the original drums and guitar tracks for most of these songs go back like a couple of years. And it took us some time to get back to them and finish them, but we did.
Yeah.
But if we just brought the band down here, I think it could be fun. Because just playing every week for years, you just get where you can just know that they're playing so well.
Tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're tight.
Yeah, we're tight. Come check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's I've seen, you know, some bands kind of, these guys keep playing live all the time, and then they go in and just go cut a record live, and and it just sounds great because they know exactly where everybody's going to go with the song and stuff.
Yeah.
And so
chemistry.
I'm not comparing us to them, but if you listen to the Beatles, they're BBC, where they're playing some of their stuff live on the BBC. Their BBC recordings almost sound exactly like their records. They're that tight. Yeah. They're that good of a band. So I'm not saying we're that good, but I mean, you get real tight doing that, especially when they used to play 8 hours a night. So
yeah, well, that'd be great. I mean, it'd be like I said, I'm not rushing anything, but if we get this record
you're
out,
not Russian, but are you German?
Would it be nice to get some more, a full length to go on or something? Get another record follow up after this. And
yeah, we have tons of songs that we're still working on.
Yep. Sure.
So, but we wanted to do an EP, get it out there. We had too many fans asking for this to
come out. I think that's a great way to go. I mean, unless you're doing some concept record or something like that, but I think an EP is a nice way to go. Get a batch of songs out there. This is what we're working on right now, and you could even do 2 or 3 a year if you wanted to, something like that. So,
yeah.
But I think it's a great way to constantly keep in fresh content out there and keep it being. So I'm a fan of EPs, and especially with everybody's attention spans these days. Nobody's really listening to full length records anymore. A whole lot. There's some diehard fans, but as a casual listeners of people want something on their phone, their digital stuff. They want it. It's just the way music's consumed today. And but I'm still a sucker for buying vinyl records and all this stuff. I love all that. And
sounds, in my opinion, and Paul's the recording engineer, so he might disagree. But there's something about vinyl that just has a bigger presence.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Well, and even that, it sounds great, but it's also just that feeling, just the artwork and reading the liner notes and all that stuff. I mean, and the fact that you can't just skip a song, maybe you can move the needle, but it's a whole process of hit and play and just sitting back and listening to the whole thing as a piece of work, not just handpicking a song you like out of the middle and stuff. And
for sure, it's an active listening process, and people love the tangible aspect of it.
Right.
Speaking of art, I just wanted to mention the album cover.
Yeah.
The album cover is actually a really cool concept. Jackie.
Yep. My girlfriend Jackie Tuber.
She's the photographer who took the pictures, and we used a gentleman by the name of John who had a 52 Chevy, and we did it at Auto Art in St. Louis. Ariana Alexis was the model, and so in the 10-foot pole, I'm holding a pole to keep her at a distance. So it's really cool. So the concept is in the front of the cover, I'm holding her at a distance, and then because she's dressed elegant, and then the back of the cover, she's dressed pinup style, and I'm in my car, and she's right next to me because I changed her to become what I want.
Yeah,
kind of like in Grease,
right? Yeah, what are you talking about, stud? Remember that scene? I'm not calling you a stud, by the way. So, but what I was getting at is, you know, she's the model. Ariana is just a beautiful, beautiful young lady and great presence. She's actually a up and coming actress.
Nice.
She's going somewhere. So
yeah. Well, very cool. Yeah, I'm excited to see the finished product. I've seen a little teaser stuff online with your with the photo shoot, but yeah, I'm excited to get a copy of the record.
Absolutely. The EP, and give we have a copy. Once we get it, we'll get you a copy.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, we can send you the picture of the cover in the meantime, so you can check it out.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, get involved. Everdeen.com or .net, Facebook, all that fun stuff. Blue Lotus Recording is also on Facebook. Yep. Be sure to click like over there. And again, you can pick up this record.
1860s.
Oh, man. 1860s. Yep. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Shane. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.